This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, I'm Miriam Margolyes, and I want you to support Joy 94.9 during the 2012 Radiothon. Become a member. Go on. Call 1-300-JOY-949. Do it now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon it is. And welcome to Detours on Joy, of course, 94.9. And on this bleary, horrible, gusty day, I've just made probably one of the biggest errors in radio and not realised that the mics were on, so I apologise to everybody for that one. I was just having a chat to our guest in the lift, and on a day like today in London, we'd be calling it grotty. So enjoy your grotty Saturday wherever you are. We've got a fantastic show for you today, and we sort of have Greg Atkins here, sort of in spirit. He did the cloakroom last night at the Greyhound Hotel, and I believe he was yelling at you all. So we have a voiceless man sitting at the panel today. But as I say, we've got a jam-packed show for you today. We have a very special guest, as always, and hopefully Greg will get a few words in.
Well, it's John Malloy, and this is going to be fun. And we really do welcome John Malloy to the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can help out as co-host, Lindsay. Don't worry.
Oh, fantastic. Greg, I don't know that we need you now. So can you talk at all?
I can, very quietly.
And very sexily.
We do want to thank everyone who joined Joyride for the membership drive. And we've raised enough money, I think, to keep Joy on air for 12 more months, which is just fantastic. And you too can still join up and win the $35,000 Jeep. So you can call 1-300-569-949 anytime today and join up for the Jeep.
Fantastic. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Jeep. And yeah, although the radiothon's over, you can still join. And I think it's about another week or so, isn't it, Greg, that you can ring up, become a member, renew your membership and be in the running for that fantastic Jeep that's going to bring out your inner lesbian when you win it.
And mine too.
And yours too. You need your inner lesbian brought out. But before we go any further, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And no stranger to radio, I believe.
I've done some time in the back rooms of radio studios, yes. Sounds racier than it actually is.
Now, we're talking to you today about...
The Indian Film Festival of Melbourne.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which opens... I'm one of the co-directors of the festival, so it opens this week in Melbourne on Monday. And we've got a huge program over 10 days and some massive Bollywood stars coming out, and we're really excited. So we're hoping and encouraging everybody to get involved.
Fantastic. And is this the first Bollywood Film Festival?
Look, it's the official first Indian Film Festival of Melbourne. There's been a great festival for the last 2 years, which has now grown with the support of the Victorian government, who've come on board this year to create the official festival. Melbourne's been very much in as a bridge between India and Australia for the last 3 years, actually. Yeah.
And growing too. Not far from us, there was the world's largest Bollywood dance routine happening.
Absolutely.
Now, you were part of that, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. So we broke the Guinness World Record at Moomba last year, which is always good because I'm one of the few people that I know that has a Guinness World Record. So we had thousands of people dancing on the banks of the Yarra, and it made amazing news all over India and Asia and into China. And we had a Malaika Arora Khan was leading the dance, who's a very, very famous Indian supermodel and dancer. So on the day, it was fantastic.
I want to unpick a bit about this. It's when you work in the area, as you have, you must start to get a real feel for Indian culture and for music.
Look, absolutely. I'm a film producer. I'm an Australian film producer, and I didn't really know that much about Indian cinema. And then I was invited to the Bollywood Oscars about 6 years ago. And when I got there, I just discovered a world that was so massive and so wonderful and huge and vibrant that I just became, obsessed, I guess, very quickly.
What connected to you? What was it that impassioned you about Bollywood?
I think the filmmakers are incredibly generous. They're incredibly upbeat. It's an industry like we can't imagine, really. The Australian film industry is quite boutique and small. Bollywood and Indian cinema in general, because Bollywood's just a part of that, is much bigger than Hollywood. It's much bigger than the American industry. And when you go and you see the amount of activity and the enthusiasm of the filmmakers and the generosity of them, they're very open and very welcoming, actually, to Australian filmmakers. It's just great.
So today we're going to tease not just about Bollywood, but the extension into the film industry of India and the colour and the variety, I suppose, it exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And each part of India has its own film industry. So at the festival, I think it's about 10 languages that we actually have films in from all the different regional parts of India, as well as Hindi, which is what we associate with Bollywood. Yeah.
I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of Bollywood. Yeah. I have to admit. I sort of, SBS a few years ago, I was watching, it was a rainy Sunday afternoon, something like today, and this movie came on. And I was drawn to it immediately because it was, above and beyond anything else, it was just really high camp. And it was really, really fun. There was a guy in a scooter and she's singing to him. And then they sort of, all dress up and they're all singing and dancing. The whole thing about Bollywood is, if we can focus on Bollywood first, because, everybody loves that, is it is so happy. That's one of the things about it, whether it drives you mad like sometimes it does me, it just seems to be so darned happy.
Well, I think the thing is Bollywood had a very important cultural place, which is for Indians, the things that they are most passionate as a country about are cricket, films and religion, I guess. Mm. And they're so passionate about the films because the films became their ability to holiday or to escape. So that's often why you'll see in a Bollywood film, a song will all of a sudden be set in a different country or a different place or a different... Because for a person that doesn't have the ability to travel in that way, the film becomes a conduit to actually visiting all of these places around the world. And you are experiencing that for the pleasure of escapism and the joyfulness of escapism. And
it's very much like during the recession, Hollywood, when Hollywood became the big escape, everybody was so terribly poor, but the movies were incredibly glamorous.
Well, and in that time, it was Shirley Temple, wasn't it? Mm. She was the hugest star, and everybody just wanted to tap dance like a little girl because that was the best way that they could realise that, life ain't so happy on the streets, but that's good.
But maybe the escapism also extends to, and I've seen some films where it's about people moving out of the awful lot of life they have and being able to escape into something that's at the next level up, more wealth, more sense of self, and that seems to be a feature of Indian film as well.
Look, I think so, but generally, actually, I think that's something that's shared by world cinema, I mean, we transport ourselves into superheroes, that's how we, all of a sudden, we're Chris Hemsworth in the Avengers in our own mind, or at least in mine.
Spider-Man for me.
Iron Man for me.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's true. And but the thing is, and it's very, I mean, I guess that's one of the main things about the festival, is we want to educate people about Indian cinema or introduce them to Indian cinema rather than just Bollywood, while also celebrating Bollywood at the same time, because you're right, it's the main bridge between the two worlds at the moment.
Now, that voice is John Molloy, and John Molloy is joining us here on Detours. I'm Greg Atkins without the voice. Lindsay Curliffe is
I'm finding
co-host.
This very funny.
You're so cruel. And stay with us through to the next hour on Detours.
Hi, this is Natalie Gauci from Tune In Tokyo. Joy 94.9 have been supporting Tune In Tokyo from the very beginning. And not only that, me from Australian Idol from when I started. And I love the station. I was listening to Joy. It was like 10:30 at night. I'm driving my car. And all of a sudden, Dreamer comes on and I just screamed. I was just so excited. And it was Joy that played it first. And I was just like, yeah, this is so cool. Because you guys are the only gay and lesbian radio station in Australia and you rock. Please show your support for the 2012 Radio Song on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
You're on Detours on Joy 94.9, and our guest today is John Molloy, who is the director of the Indian Film Festival, which is in Melbourne.
It begins on Monday on the 11th and runs for 10 days.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, before we went to the break, we were talking about the diversity of Indian cinema.
Yeah.
Which is as diverse as anywhere else. When people go to the cinema in India and to actually get films, how do you actually resource the films? Because I'd imagine, do you speak fluent Indian? Because there's something like 17,000 different languages. How do you actually negotiate all this?
No, I don't. And my co-director at the festival, Meetu Balmiklongi, does all the programming for the festival, and she's an Indian film producer herself and often brings big Indian projects to Melbourne and to Australia to film. So I leave that all to her, and she has excellent taste, and we work with the Film Directorate of India to source new and groundbreaking films. And this year, we've also got a guest curator for films from the subcontinent, a man called Onir, who is an amazing filmmaker who's progressed particularly a lot of queer issues in India and the subcontinent through his films in the last few years. So we also, on top of all the Indian films this year, we have Bhutan, Pakistan, Sri Lanka and Bangladesh as well represented.
To progress gay and lesbian issues in a culture that's only just started to unshackle English law around illegal homosexual activity.
Absolutely.
Must be a difficult thing.
Look, it is, and it really is. It's very interesting. People are very interested in engaging with the conversation, and the conversation is more progressed in certain areas of the country, obviously in the big cities, than it is in the regions. But the person that we're bringing over for the closing night film this year is a man called Ritupano Ghosh, who has been absolutely at the forefront of that conversation. And he is not only directed films, and I think he's won 10 national awards for best films in India, which shows an acceptance in the filmmaking culture of his films, but he also acts in his films, and the films that he's been making in recent years are very much centered on queer issues in India. So it's interesting to really bring those kind of filmmakers out. Onir came out last year and he closed our festival with a film called I Am, and it was really interesting. We had the most vibrant Q&A you've ever seen afterwards, with people standing up and going, "This is not my India," because there were some very controversial stories in the film, some of them being queer, some of them being political. And then young Indian people standing up and going, "This is my India. Don't you tell me what my India is. This is exactly how we see, and this is our urban experience." So that's one of the things we're most proud of with the festival, is that we can engage in political and social ideas, as well as celebrating the huge and glossy parts of the industry as well, which are the fun parts as well. And people love that, and that should never be diminished.
Now, just as some straight people feel that gay culture is subverting Indian culture, some might say Pussycat Dolls subverted A.R. Rahman's Jai Ho. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, it's an interesting thing. So the version you just played is A.R. Rahman's version of Jai Ho, which is a huge and very successful and well-loved song in India, but the version that we know of it is the Pussycat Dolls version, which, you know, I would suggest is not quite as well-rounded, but it's, you know, it's a very funny thing when you see different levels of culture appropriated. And then, I mean, it's wonderful too. I mean, the fact that people can dance to Jai Ho all over the world is fantastic. But yes, it's a very much the pop version that the Pussycat Dolls do, and a very sexy version.
Have you travelled to India yourself?
Yeah, of course.
What was the first experience like, getting off the plane, arriving at maybe Mumbai, and away you went?
Look, I mean, it was the first thing that really hits you about India is the sheer energy of the country. Like, it's almost palpable, like it sort of bounces off the pavement at you. And people think New York is hectic or different parts of the world. You know, nothing prepares you for the great human energy that is Bombay. And I was just saying to Lindsay, you either go with it or you don't. You just have to surf it, really. And in that experience, you have amazing highs, occasional lows, but you've just sort of got to keep going and bouncing. And the great thing about India and the Indian people is they're really funny, they're really engaging. So as Australians, I think we have a lot to share with them in that way. And they're really proud of India as well. And that's actually really uplifting a lot of the time.
So when we see, you know, the latest, you know, fabulous film, I think the movie of the year, really, The Marigold Hotel. No doubt you've seen it.
No, I haven't. So oh, that's okay.
Because I was going to ask you, like, how true a representation is that of India? Because it's sort of, you know, like the young boy that was running the hotel, he was so apologetic and so helpful. And, you know, these British elderly people have sort of gone there to retire. And it was one of the things in that movie, I think I've said it before, is that, you know, for me, when they're talking about the vibrancy of India, the people, the smiles and the smells and the colour, and I just thought, yep, that's it. I'm sold on this place now.
Look, it is. I mean, it's, you know, I think an interesting example in film is Slumdog Millionaire, which a lot of people have seen, I think. And to me, the Academy Award for that film really went to Bombay because it was the first time people were looking at Bombay in the West through a cinema lens. And the world of India, the geographic world of India, it is just riveting and amazing. And you can point a camera anywhere and you're capturing amazing pieces of life, amazing colour, just an amazing human experience. And so I think that's real, actually. It's very easy to capture amazing things from India in a camera.
I like it. When are we going, Greg? I think you need to take me.
Look, I'm happy to take you anytime you want to be.
With a voice like that. Actually, just very briefly, you've been getting some fabulous responses about your voice. Somebody's calling you Darth Vader. That was Sean from South Bank. And the voice is hot. Should lose it more often.
Now, Sean, if you're not a Joy member, you should be 1-300-569-949. And you too can slag me about my Darth Vader voice from the back of a Jeep, $35,000 Jeep as a prize for joining up Joy, and it's coming back through. So thank you, Sean from South Bank.
Very, very funny. We're talking to John Molloy, who's the director of the Indian Film Festival that's starting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, yep, as you all know, and there's, you know, we have so many film festivals in Melbourne. We're sort of festival to death sometimes, I think. And every time we turn a corner, it's another festival. I think that's fantastic, but getting bums on seats to these movies it's a big ask these days because there are so many festivals.
Excuse me, did you say getting bums on seats is a big ask these days?
No, a big asker. There's a K on the end of that word, Greg. God, you're naughty. Just because you've got a sore throat. So what to actually get people in, what do you go out there and sell it? What's your major...
Well, I mean, look, for us, obviously, one of the main things we do is we... Like, on our opening night is already sold out, and we have massive Indian superstars coming to launch the festival. So we've got Priyanka Chopra and Shahid Kapoor here on Monday, who are, look, I mean, they're like the Brad and Angelina of the Indian film industry, but they're bigger. You know, Priyanka is an ex-Miss World who is just one of the hugest film stars in the world. Shahid is, you know, go online and have a look. Whatever your predilection, I'm sure you're going to find somebody you find attractive there. So they're going to be with us on Monday. We recently had Vidya Balan out to launch the festival a month ago, and Vidya is arguably the biggest female film star in the world at the moment.
Wow.
And so the Indian actors, producers and directors that we bring out here are very engaged in developing the conversation and creating these connections between Australia and India. They love coming to Australia as well. It's, you know, it is one of their favourite destinations. So it's a nice... That's how we get bums on seats. And also by programming 10 different languages in the festival, we're also allowing people to come and consume something from their own culture as part of the festival as well.
How do you cover off 10 languages in terms of English plus 10?
Yeah.
And subtitle them so people from English, Indian culture can actually hear across those languages?
Yeah, I mean, the films arrive to us subtitled. I mean, that's one of the important things, so that everybody can engage in the film wherever you come from. They're subtitled in English and then carried in their original language. So for most people, that's enough.
How interesting. English is the connecting language between all the 10 different subcultural languages.
Well, that's it. And the languages share some similarities, but then they share their own identity as well. So, yeah.
What's it like for you personally working in this space with Indian culture?
oh, look, I just love it. To me, it's like a personal pleasure. I've got so many friends out of it. I really do it for the pleasure, actually. And also a curiosity, which is, you know, we're all told that this is the century of India and China and all of those things. So it's, when I went to India, I found something really wonderful and engaging that I personally connected with. So I'm really interested to watch how this country evolves so quickly, like in a way that we can't imagine. It changes from year to year. If you haven't been back for 2 years, there's just been massive progressions in the country. And so it's interesting too to watch a bit of history happen.
Now you're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and part of my voice. That's John Molloy, our guest. Stay with us through to 1 o'clock.
Joy's Radiothon 2012, a huge week of fun and one massive prize on offer. Don't miss out, June 1st to June 8th.
Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Beautiful sounds of Nina Simone here on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guest John Molloy.
Yes, I chose that one for you. A, because it's such a gloomy day in Melbourne, or grotty as you call it, Lindsay. And I thought something sweet and nice and happy and sunny like that would be good.
And Nina was a very controversial and very colourful character.
She was indeed. Yes, and a grumpy old lady towards the old... I think she shot someone once as well.
I think
actually.
She did.
Yeah.
And loved a bit of a tipple. I would have actually loved to have seen her, actually.
Well, so would I. And I actually had a very animated argument with a lovely Egyptian gentleman in Bangkok last weekend. Sounds exotic, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah, I'm jealous.
And because we were having an argument about Nina, and he went, well, you know, the last time I saw her, she did that thing where, you know, she just came out and yelled at the audience for 20 minutes and then left. And I said, okay, hold on, roll it back. First of all, you got to see her, which I never did, so I'm insanely jealous. And then you said last time, and he went, yeah, I saw her at least 3 times, I think, over the course of her career. And I nearly killed him at that point. Yeah. And I said, when was the first time? And he went, oh, it was this jazz festival in the open air. There was a storm rolling in behind her across the sea. And I go, now I have killed. Yes.
You just, you know, people like that, you just walk away, actually, and go, oh. But yeah, it's one of those things... you know, talking about Nina and any performer and Indian movies. It always seems to, music, food, art in any form, just breaches those cultural gaps.
Well, I think so. And I mean, and that's like I was saying before, you know, Indian film is so close to the heart of Indian people. And in that way, it can be a very powerful advocate for change and understanding as well. So we bought out a massive, amazing film star called Aamir Khan to the Melbourne International Film Festival a couple of years ago. And Amir's films, they create social change in India. His first film, Lagan, which was nominated for an Academy Award, was all about India finding its voice against colonialism and against, I guess, British domination through the metaphor of cricket. Mm. His massive film that he made recently, Three Idiots, is all about bullying. He's had films about the difficulties of teaching... children with special needs, but all of these are saying very worthy. They are also massive, massive box office successes. So in that way, he gets people talking and engaging in ideas that change Indian society in a really gentle way.
There's the difference in Western culture. We aren't establishing that base of ideas driving societal change through film.
That's it.
So how do they get it, and why does it work in Indian film culture?
Well, I think it's Gosh, that's a really complicated question, actually, because it's, say, Vidya, who we had out a month ago, is changing the way women are perceived in Indian film. However, she's doing that from the strength of already being a box office star. So a film she made this year called The Dirty Picture, which is in the festival, is where she's taken... the role of, you know, an erotic film star, which is very unusual, particularly for an established actress to step into that role, and has played it with... She's a deeply gifted actor, so she's played it incredibly well. She's won the National Award for the film, and in doing so and in changing the way that women are presented and also can generate the life of a film, is now in India the three biggest stars are Aamir Khan, Salman Khan and Shah Rukh Khan, and now she is being dubbed the fourth Khan, you know, and it's the first time a woman's held that position, and that's partly because of her integrity and her great choices and also her great talent as well.
And it's interesting because, you know, these days in Australia or the Western world you really can't use the word feminism because the younger generation see that as like it's a filthy, dirty word, and no, we're not going to use it. No, we're not feminists. But it's interesting that in India that this medium is obviously very safe for women to use to actually get a message across.
Well, yes and no. Like, it's developing in that way, in that because the film industry, I think the interesting thing that we're talking about with Aamir Khan and with Vidya is you can have a massive film that creates change, whereas we have the Avengers where we go for escapism, or then we have a smaller, you know, I'm not sure even what it, you know, something that, you know, Cate Blanchett's probably in, a very interesting film about ideas and but the two don't meet together. In India you can bring those things together, and often it's also because the filmmakers engage in the idea of ideas are not divorced from entertainment. You know, that those two things can be carried in the same film. So, I mean, there's still, you know, I mean, Vidya's a trailblazer. So there's still a long way to go but it's on the way now. And the fact that she's been able to become that figure means other young actresses will also be able to take that step.
Now, John Malloy, we've had a listener call in on 1300-JOY949 and say, great discussion there, guys. There'll always be a mixture of Western and traditional culture. And in various art forms, reaching the Western audience and exposing them to another culture is great. Now, that's a good point. Coming back to your previous point, in Indian culture, it's very strata. There are levels where people have an expectation not to move beyond the level in society that they exist in. And maybe in Western culture, the escapism comes from people having this constant aspirational push to be better, and with this view that they can be better than where they currently sit. Could that be the difference in the two cultures?
I would actually say India is actually highly aspirational, and that's part of the new India, the India that's part of this economic boom. And that's... people are always trying to further and benefit better their situation. It's not, I'm in this place, so I will just stay here, or not with a lot of the Indian people that I personally have met. And that's one of the things that even in a country with diverse... living standards, even sometimes if you're in a poorer situation in India, you're really active, you're really alive, you're making things happen around you, you're not stuck, actually. Whereas often in Western culture, I find it sometimes sadder, like if you go to the Tenderloin or something in San Francisco, and you go here, being outside of society is associated with being mentally ill or drug dependent. India, that's not the case. So people can always move. They can challenge themselves. They can. Sometimes you're getting hustled on the street by a young girl who speaks seven languages. You know, and it's not the same. India has a lot of life in it rather than that. But it's one of the interesting things, I think, that we don't understand sometimes, is that in that aspirational way, some of the people that work in call centres that we get frustrated by, even though they're working in a different language, they're actually university graduates who've been headhunted to work in a highly competitive industry that is hard to get into. And we sometimes assume, oh, that's not a job we would do, therefore we don't respect it. Actually, that job is often on a ladder to somewhere else, and somebody's fought very hard to get that job, and that fight means that they'll keep going and changing their situation.
Now, you're here on Detours with Greg and Lindsay and our guest John Malloy, and we are on a ladder to something else, because at 1 o'clock Pete Dillon joins us for Cravings, food and culture, all those great things. But until then, stay with us, because we've got so much more with John Malloy to share.
Joy 94.9's 2012 Radiothon.
Become a member today. Call 1300 JOY 949. My baby don't mess around, 'cause she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door?
On Detours with Lindsay and Greg, and now special guest John Molloy, and fresh in the studio from Radiothon, where he really worked up the treat getting members on, and fresh also from washing his hands is Pete Dillon.
What happened to your voice, Greg Atkins? You sound terrible.
Look, I was out there spruiking around Melbourne for Joy memberships last night.
I heard something terribly different, or read something terribly different. Yeah, it may have been on a toilet wall at the Greyhound Lens.
Good one. Yeah, nice. And around about 8 p.m. last night, at DFO near Southern Cross, I managed to, off the street, get a Joy member to sign up. How's that? So you too can join. 1-300-569-949. You too can be in the running to win that.
You can win this great Jeep. Big bloody Jeep.
It's fantastic.
It's enormous.
So thank you all for participating. What's on the show today, Pete?
We're wading into some murky and perhaps controversial waters.
Oh, you'd never do that, would you?
I know. Justin North's group this week, he's known as a celebrity chef. His group this week announced that they're in voluntary administration. Yet another high-end restaurant. So we're going to unpack the issue around high-end restaurants. Is it the economy that's driving them to fail? Are they expanding too quickly? Is it trying to be, you know, too much too soon? So Matteo Pignatelli, who's the president of Restaurant and Caterers Association Vic, and an owner of a restaurant that he's had since 1994, will be in. And we're going to talk to John Lethlean from The Australian, Michael Harden, who's the editor of The Good Bar Guide, which is released today, and to a caterer. He's called G'day Chef.
Well, the question for them is, are they perhaps pitching to such a small segment of our society, and they're all competing for the same tiny group?
Absolutely. They're competing for the one set of dollars. The other thing is, I think that there are issues around, because we've become such good cooks, you know, MasterChef and the like has taught us to cook well. We know what good ingredients to buy, we know where to get them, and we might be ourselves putting some of these guys out of business. So a very interesting hour of discussion.
Now, your favourite Indian dish?
Oh, I'm terrible. I like to have anything that's deep fried, so a good onion bhaji is perfect for me, like onions and chickpea dough that's been thrown in the deep fryer and served with a minted yogurt type dressing with some fresh cumin seeds.
Ooh. There you go. That's from Pete Dillon. You heard it first, straight from the man's mouth.
1 o'clock.
In the meantime, John Molloy, what's your favourite Indian dish?
Goodness, there is so much good food in India. Down south in Kerala, just anything fresh from the sea, prawns, fish, just fried in natural spices, beautiful.
Look, I'm feeling like that for lunch today. Do you know what? We've had another message saying the middle class are strong in India. Is that true?
Very much. I mean, it's a huge, massive growth and cultural change in India, and that's due to it's a rising economic superpower. So it just means that, you know, that society is changing. There is a much greater section of society with more expendable income, which is, I guess, what we associate with middle class, that you're able to educate your children, you've got money to spend, that you are moving forward in society. So, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and that's just it is one of the huge growth areas that the world is now fixated on, because when a country is that big and the middle class is growing that strongly, it means that's a massive market. So in the film industry, the example of that is, we assume India has a thing called the single screener, where huge amounts of people will go and watch a film for $1 or $2, and we think that's how all films are consumed in India. That's not true. There's multiplexes where people pay $15 US a ticket to go, and the audience that goes to that cinema doesn't go to a single screener. They're different audiences. But, you know, I mean, I don't even know how many tickets were sold in India last year, but it would be over 1 billion tickets to the cinema would have been sold last year.
Golly, I bet Hollywood would like to get their fingers on some of those clams. That's amazing. And, you know, the whole thing about India is, I'm an avid documentary watcher, and I saw a doco, and it was sort of focusing on the growth of India and Indian teenagers and people in their 20s. And it was absolutely fascinating because, you know, we'll go out and buy a stereo and, you know, and, you know, it's an everyday occurrence, really. You know, when we want a stereo, we'll go out and buy it. But these kids are living in quarters that we wouldn't live in. But, you know, they want to, you know, to have a stereo is a big thing. And I remember this guy saying that, you know, one of the reasons for getting the stereo is that he could now play the music of all his favourite films.
Yeah.
And it was that connection. And in this... It was absolutely fascinating because it was about that incredible growth in this country and how these kids, you know, like we call call centres basically salt mines over here, but to them it's something really big. So with so many people going to movies, like billions of tickets, so just say we'll use that figure.
Go for it.
A billion tickets sold. How on earth, I mean, these cinemas must be huge. They must first of all be running like 24/7.
Absolutely.
And the content, the amount of content that has turned out must be astronomical.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Bollywood itself is just a section, produces over 1,000 films a year, which is bigger than the output of Hollywood, let alone then all the regional cinemas in the regional dialect. So the content is there because it's a country that is just, it's so passionate about film. And And if that's where communities meet and people share stories, there's great things when you go to a cinema in India. It's not a passive experience like we have in Australia. People cheer when an actor's name comes up. They might smoke, they might talk. Wow. They could, you know, like it's a very, very lively experience when you go. And that just comes down to the passion that the people have, as they do for cricket. Cricket and film, there are the two things. Once I went to India with Brett Lee, and you've never seen... I was sorted from both ends. I was going, I'm with that guy.
He was actually in a Bollywood film, wasn't he?
He was.
A star.
Yeah, he's a massive star over there. I mean, not so much of a film star. He pops up, but as a person, as a cricketer, as somebody who engages between Australia and India, he's massive. Yeah.
I actually met two Indian sports journalists a few years ago, and they were here for whatever the cricket match is. I have no idea and they're chatting to me. I was actually working in a bookshop, and they're after cricket books. And I said, "Oh, look, I don't follow cricket." It was the biggest insult because, you know, their faces just dropped. And I was like, "Look, I'm really sorry, I just don't follow cricket. But the cricket section's just around there." And, you know, I was saved because there was a guy there that, you know, was going to the test match and da-da-da. And it's incredible. It's an incredible culture. We really have to get along and see some of these movies. Is there anything that you'd recommend above or anything that's sort of a little bit closer to you?
No, look, I mean, to me, I mean, I think you should go and see Vidya in The Dirty Picture. I mean, I think that's an amazing, amazing film. If you want to see something that's really just high action and really interesting that you haven't seen, go see Don 2, which was a huge blockbuster from last year. A film I really love, which I think is really funny, and the film is mainly in English as well, is a film called Delhi Belly, and it's kind of like the India's version of The Hangover, and it's and it's a seriously, seriously funny film that is nearly, you know, if you don't love the subtitles, it's nearly completely in English, and it's just a really, really, really funny film. But if you go to ifm.com.au, you can see the entire program, and the program's running between Hoyts Melbourne Central and Hoyts Chadston. So we're doing lots of big blockbusters in the city, and we're running our regional program at Hoyts Chadston, so you can sort of see which cinema is easier for you to access.
Now, standard film screening requires a certain amount of seats just to be viable.
Yeah.
Film festivals right across Melbourne's history of festivals in film require an even greater amount to break even. What about Indian cultural film festivals?
Well, we just love as many people as we can possibly get, Greg. I think that's it. And we've got great event screenings that happen throughout where we have different people doing Q&As or, you know, so if you're interested in queer Indian cinema, please come to Ritupana Ghosh as the closing night of the festival, and he will speak and do a Q&A with the audience at the end. And then we have different other event screenings which help support some of the smaller films so that we're able to show a really diverse range. So, yeah, We're good. Our audience grows every year. So.
How many films are actually in the program?
Well, I think we started with 35, but I think we're now above 40. So, yeah, it grows.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's a very, very complete and comprehensive film festival.
Fantastic. I want to sort of pop along.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I might actually sway a little bit more back to Bollywood at the end of it all.
As long as you come out dancing, Lindsay, that's all.
But is there much of that? I mean, do you ever get audience interaction? I mean, I always think back to my days with the Rocky Horror Picture Show and dancing down the aisles and getting dressed up. Is there audience interaction as well with Indian film?
Well, there is. I mean, look, when a film is really working and the audience is excited, people will cheer, they'll clap, they'll really get involved as if like they're at a more of an interactive or a interactive thing, whereas we as Australians, we will often just sit there and watch very, very quietly all the way through, you know. So yeah, absolutely there is. And when we opened a festival here a couple of years ago, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And Natalie Miller, who runs the Nova and does many great things in the film world, she said that is the best Q&A session I've ever seen, because people, we had Rani Mukherjee, who's a very big Indian star, out, and people got up in the audience and actually sang to Rani. Rani would sing back. Little girls got up out of the audience to dance for her, and it was just one of the most beautiful cultural experiences I've ever had.
Wow. Do you know, Natalie Miller has been a great friend of Joy's over the years.
She has, yeah.
This is fantastic. We're looking forward to sharing perhaps more journeys with you.
Thank you.
And we might come back and explore some of your personal travels next time.
Goodness. If that can go to air, that would be great.
It can, believe me, it can.
You've been exploring the last hour with John Molloy and this fantastic Indian Film Festival coming up starting Monday.
It does.
Here in Melbourne. John, if people want to contact you at the Indian Film Festival, how should they do that?
Oh, look, if you just go to the website, info@ifm.com.au, and any questions or anything, please send them on and through.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Looking forward.
It's been a marvellous day. Thank you very much, John Molloy, for joining us. Thank you very much, Lindsay, and thank you for the many people that messaged in during the show today. I'm sure all of you who've joined up, 1-300-569-949, are in the running for that Jeep. If you aren't, you too can do that now. It's only $72 full membership and a discounted rate for concessional memberships as well.
Cool.
Beautiful. Happy trails, everybody. We'll be back next week at 12 on Saturday, and we'll leave you with this absolutely wonderful track. I'm going to get up and sort of do a bit of Bollywoodish.
A little bit more A.R. Rahman. This is Gia Se Gia. You enjoy.
Happy trails.
Joy94.9's 2012 Radiothon.
Become a member today. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy94.9. To find out more about Joy94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.